Let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and when you're turning up that place, I realize that time is running away on me, so what I'm intending to do this morning is preaching a message which is a doctrinal message. It's on justification by faith alone, through Christ alone. The monk who shook the world, Martin Luther, John Knox before him. Of course, when we think of men like this, we think of the Scottish Reformation. We think today of our free and religious liberty. We think of William of Orange, a defender of the faith, a man who believed, I believe, in justification by faith alone, through Christ alone. And because of that, I feel that we need to understand, because this is a doctrine that it goes against what Rome teaches. Rome's doctrine is a doctrine of works, a religion of works, but ours is a religion of faith, a religion of Christ and the finished work. And on that basis, we want to go forward into this message today. Romans chapter 5, we'll read a number of verses together, commencing at the verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We'll end the reading there. We know that the Lord will add his very own blessing to the word to our hearts for his name's sake. It is the verse 1 that I want to take as our text. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Having read this verse, very conscious that I need the Lord's help. Therefore, with me, please join in prayer, and let's ask the Lord to bless us. Our Father, as we come to thy word, our focus is now turning entirely toward the Lord, toward thy book, toward the sword of God. I ask of thee that as I open my mouth, that thou wilt fill it, that thou wilt speak through us, that thou wilt edify us. I take now thy promised Holy Spirit to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, he undertakes for me. Amen and amen. What is justification? We should define the term justified as we find it there in the verse 1 of chapter 5 of Romans. It's a forensic term, and it means to declare righteous. That's simply what it means, to declare righteous. If you went to a court and you were accused of a crime, whether you committed it or not, but at the end of the inquiry, the judge pronounces you innocent of the crime alleged against you. You have been declared justified. It is that term that we are viewing here, justified, free. Free from the law, O happy condition. Jesus have bled, and there is remission. Freedom is found in justification. Who can be justified? You know, there are men, and there are women, and there are young people. And perhaps there's someone who are gathering today, and you're just like this. You feel that you're good enough. You feel that when you've listened to people's testimonies as to how that they have sinned, how that they have walked an iniquitous road, how that they've drank and smoked and done everything bad under the sun. And you surmise in your mind that you're not as bad as they were. That you haven't sinned as they have, that in the general and in the main, you're a good person. You pay into your church. You do works that are good in the sight of others, in the sight of God. In other words, you are saying that you are self-righteous. And you are actually putting yourself into a position that you are saying you do not need justification by faith alone through Christ alone. In essence, you are saying that you are a goody-goody. Well, my friend, I have news for you. Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. There are only two types of people in this world. It's not Protestant and Catholic. It's not Jew and Hindu. It's justified and not justified. That's the only two persons in this world that God sees. Those that are justified and those who aren't justified. The doctrine of justification is for sinners and for sinners saved by grace. I want to take the subject of justification. And there are three things that I want to look at with you this morning, as God will allow. Firstly, the provision of justification. The provision of justification. What has God provided in this doctrine of justification? Well, in the first thing, and in essence there are three. And the first one is salvation. God has provided salvation. Look at our text. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice how the verse begins. It begins with a therefore. And you have to ask yourself the question, what's it there for? And we should take note of what has gone before. That's really what it means. Look back in the preceding chapter, and you will understand why the word therefore is recorded. Well, let's take a glance back into chapter 4. Notice the verse 20. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Who is the he referred to? It's Abraham. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That speaks of his faith, of his strong confidence in God. Look at verse 22 of chapter 4. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now that word imputed is key. What was imputed? We have to go a little further back in chapter 4 to understand what was imputed. Look at verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Speaking of Abraham. Though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. There we have that word imputed again, referring to Abraham. And the righteousness of God, the righteousness was imputed to him. And here we see in the verse 11, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also, to others that are out of Christ. Whose righteousness was imputed? We have to go back into chapter 3. Notice verse 24 and 25. Well, we'll just read the context of verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Clearly then, for a person to be declared righteous in God's sight, a person must know the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Here then we have a cloak. Here then we have a covering. We have a robe of righteousness. And that, my friend, is what the child of God has when, as a sinner, they come to faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ imputes to them the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and their sins, which are many, are beneath the blood of the Lamb. Today is the 12th of July. And what differentiates Protestantism from Catholicism? What differentiates Judaism from Hinduism or any other religion under the sun? I'll tell you what it is. It's the doctrine of justification through Christ alone, by faith alone. Salvation is provided in justification, but also security. Every sinner coming to the Savior is eternally secure. Every sinner. Maybe you're in the gathering today and you're not saved. And the biggest thing that is holding you back is you think you could not keep salvation. May I say again, every sinner coming to the Savior is eternally secure. There are no exceptions to that rule. None. The devil will supplant thoughts in your mind, and he will say that you can be saved and lost. That is not true. He might supplant whisperers within churches. There is false doctrine taught, but nothing can breach the vault door of justification. Why is that? It's because Jesus Christ is the door of the sheepfold. And every one of the sheep, every single lamb of the flock that Jesus Christ has brought safe into the fold, they cannot escape because he is the door. And they are safe and secure. The sinner is secure having found shelter in Jesus Christ. There are many verses that we could use to support this position and this teaching. But let's just look at Romans chapter 5. We have to go no further than this chapter. Verses 9 and 10. You can read those verses. They're wonderful verses. And what are they teaching? They are teaching that justification is an irreversible act. The justified soul is eternally secure. Verse 8 of Romans chapter 5 teaches us the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ in view in that 8th verse. And if Christ has died and risen again and saved us, then we're safe in Christ. We have to notice the language of Scripture. So often we read passages of Scripture. Now, notice with me that in verses 8, 9, and 10, the past is in view, the present is in view, and so too is the future. The past is in view in verse 8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were sinners. We were rebels, slanderers, rejectors of Jesus Christ. But thank God for some, that is in the past. The present is in view in verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, now justified, now declared righteous. And the future is in view both in verse 9 and in verse 10. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Underline that, we shall be saved. It's found again in the verse 10. Being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. God has commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He has sent forth his Son, and if we have believed in his name, it follows God will not damn us in hellfire. God has provided in justification, salvation, security, but he has sealed it. It's sealed. That is the provision of justification. It's sealed. Security is lapse without a seal. And a seal is used to signify that what is contained within is untampered. It's sealed. Where is the seal of justification? Romans 5 and the verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The seal of justification is the Holy Ghost given unto us. That's the seal. Now, to prove that, Scripture proves Scripture. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Again, it's Paul writing here. And in Ephesians chapter 1, in the verses 13 and 14, the verse 13 says, in whom, speaking of Christ, ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, notice this, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, if language means anything, and I am saying to you that when a sinner comes to faith in Jesus Christ, they receive the seal of justification. And I said the seal of justification is the Holy Spirit. Verse 13 says, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. In Ephesians chapter 4 in the verse 30, we have similar language. We have a warning. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Sealed unto the day of redemption. In other words, our salvation is not for time alone. It's for all eternity. That is the provision of justification. Secondly, the path of justification. Coming back to Romans 5 and the verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. Of course, that signifies that before we had Christ, we were at enmity. We were enemies of God. So what is the path of justification? Those who are saved are the happy recipients of a blessed assurance and a peace with God which is lasting, eternal, a condition, a position that is only discovered and found in Christ. This verse, Romans 5 and the verse 1, suggests that God's Son is the channel, the path through which a sinner must come in order to be justified. And that is so. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The source where it all begins is found at the cross. It's found with Christ. And notice how the titles of God are used. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. The word Lord, it refers to His divine title. Christ is King. He is Lord. He is Master. He is God of everything. Tell me, is He God of your life? Lord Jesus, that's His name. The name Jesus, it means Savior. He shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And the word Christ that is found here, that's His office. The office of Christ. The word Christ is the Greek equivalent to the Hebrew name Messiah. It means the Anointed One. Jesus Christ was anointed. He was sent by the Father to save His people from their sins. And for me, friends, that makes Him the source, the path of justification. And for a person to be saved, they have to come through Christ. There is no other way. There is no other truth. There is no other life. It's only through Christ and the finished work. I've talked there about, in the path, we think of the source of justification, the science of it. You know, today, men say, we need science. You need to prove. It needs to be measured. For any experiment to work, it has to be measured. And if it cannot be measured, well, what is the measure? What is the science of justification? In a word, we have it almost at the center of the verse 1 of chapter 5 of Romans. Therefore, being justified by faith. By faith. In a word, faith is the science of justification. By faith, the soul closes in with Christ freely offered in the gospel. By faith, that soul cries out, I want no other, I need no other. I will trust no other. None other is good enough. None other has paid the price of sin. Jesus Christ alone has unlocked the gate and let me in. What is faith? Let's take each letter. Faith. Forsaking all, I trust Him. In the instance we trust, God imputes the righteousness of Christ unto us. In the very moment
By a sovereign act of God, the sinner is declared righteous in the sight of God. You should marvel in the doctrine of justification by faith alone, through Christ alone. In the imputed righteousness of Christ, in the substitutionary work of Christ. Ah, we have looked at the provision of justification and the path of justification. Can I conclude by drawing my remarks to focus upon the pure delight of justification? Some things already mentioned have put, as it were, the fringes upon the borders of our garments. But moving further into the text and into the chapter of Romans chapter 5, we discover that justification, there is a sweetness. The sweetness of fellowship. Look at verse 2 of Romans chapter 5. By whom also, refers to Christ, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The sweetness of fellowship is that we have access. The Lord is never far from any one of his children at any time of the day, day or night. He is nigh unto us. He is with us. He has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord is here, Jehovah Shammah. Underneath us and round about us are the everlasting arms of God. You don't get such fellowship in the world as you do with Christ. When you look at the verse 3, for example, of Romans 5, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Through all of the adversities and trials of life, it's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's a grand thing to know that we have access, fellowship with Jesus Christ. But that word access, it suggests something more to me. It suggests access to the throne of heavenly grace. Through all of the trials of life, which are so suggestive there in the verses 3 and 4 that I said. Through all of this, despite all of this, because of our standing in Jesus Christ, we that are justified enjoy a sweetness of fellowship, sweet communion. I was reading a little leaflet just yesterday about King William of Orange. And in that little leaflet, it refers to the fact that William of Orange was a defender of the faith. He was a Christian. He was a Protestant. But more than that, he was a man of God. Before every skirmish, every battle he fought, William of Orange prayed. He had access to the throne of heavenly grace. We did not win the battle on the 12th of July, 1690, for any other reason other than it pleased Almighty God to answer the prayers of his children and to preserve intact the cause of Jesus Christ, the honor of his word, the majesty of his name, the glory of his crown. We would do well to remember the access that we have to the throne of heavenly grace, and we would do well to take the time to access that throne of heavenly grace and to be found on our knees praying when others are gathered
to prayer. The pure delight of justification is the sweetness of fellowship, but also a blessed hope. What are you hoping for? What am I hoping for? Are you hoping for wealth? Of course we are. We're all hoping for it. Look at verse 5 of Romans 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. My friend, the Christian's great hope is to receive a crown of glory and a home in heaven. Because of that hope, you and I will not be ashamed. There's a crown awaiting just beyond the sky. It's for you and for me that are justified by faith through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friend, never shy away from doctrine. Never shy away from teaching. We need it. And tomorrow, as you celebrate the 12th of July, thank God for justification by faith alone, through Christ alone. May God bless His word to our hearts for His name's sake.